Well, good morning, church. Man, it's good to be with you this morning. Tommy led some of my favorite songs this morning. I appreciated so much the time that we get together to sing on when we gather for worship, and Sunday mornings especially. It's just a great thing, beautiful thing. I am thankful for your presence, whether you are here for Father. You know, why do people not turn up for Father's Day the way they do for Mother's Day? That's what I want to know. Little disappointed in those. Obviously not y'all, you're here. But no. It is good to be gathered together. I know we do have a lot of families that are out and are out of town, and our teens, some of them. I know Jonathan Tucker is out getting ready for Impact this week, and our teens are gearing up to go to that, and thankful for that as well. It is just seems to me that summer is just flying by, and we are rapidly approaching July already, it seems like, and Independence Day is just around the corner, which is such a big deal in our culture. It's the day that we identify and celebrate the fact that, you know, we're free, and freedom is such a great blessing. But truly, unless you've been incarcerated or been enslaved, we probably don't really appreciate what it means to be free. Unless we have lost our freedom in a significant way, it's hard for us to really appreciate what it means to be free. I want us to think a little bit about symbols of freedom. What would you think of as the biggest symbol of freedom in our country? And we've got a bunch of them, right? And some might say it's the Statue of Liberty, right, that stands in New York. It welcomes all to our country who are seeking freedom. That's a big freedom symbol. Or maybe the biggest symbol is just the flag or the bald eagle that soars so high. Or maybe it's the Declaration of Independence or some of the monuments that are in Washington, D.C. or around our country. There's all sorts of symbols of freedom that we identify with. But I want to ask you a question. Of all the people in the world, what group of people do you think enjoy the most freedom? And I'm going to give you a hint. It's not Americans. What group of people, of all the people in the world, who enjoys the most freedom? And we love freedom. We are all about some freedom. You know, we got freedom fries and we love and celebrate the idea of liberty and freedom and it's a great thing, but Americans are not the freest people in the world. Of all the people in the world, the people who celebrate the most freedom, it's Christians. Now, I know, that sounds counterintuitive, right? For most people, that doesn't just sound counterintuitive, it's just, you're just wrong. Because Christians are bound by all these rules. I mean, we've got all these rules about what you can do and what you can't do and where you can go and you can't go and what you can and can't say. But I would argue that a Christian living in communist China or a Christian living in North Korea celebrates more freedom than an unbeliever living in America. Now, how is that possible? Well, as we continue our study through the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul teaches us about the greatest amount, the greatest kind, the greatest quality and quantity of freedom. And as we're going to see, for Christians, every time we gather together, it's an Independence Day. It's a celebration of freedom. Every time we are living out our lives in Christ, it's a celebration like Independence Day. So this is what Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. For you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. if you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what's contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. So that you cannot do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under law. So, how could Christians be considered free? That's really what we're grappling with this morning. It's the same thing our culture tells us, that Christians aren't free, or that we maybe even think about ourselves that we're not truly free. And it's because trying to live your life apart from the Spirit and trying to do enough apart from the Spirit of God to earn God's favor, trying to work your way into heaven, or as the world thinks about it, trying to do more good than bad, trying to do that, that is truly slavery. That yoke, that bondage of trying to be good enough, or from those of us who grew up in a conservative Church of Christ background, trying to be right enough, that slavery, Paul says, has ended for those who are in Christ Jesus. As Christians, we are free. We are free from guilt. We are free from fear. We are free from the eternal consequences of our inevitable failure. And you're going to fail. I bet I didn't even have to tell you that. I bet you already know that. I bet you know that this last week you fell pretty short of the glory of God on a few occasions. Maybe multiple times in the same hour, much less the same day, right? You know you're going to fall short. But you are free from the consequences of those sins. You are free from the fear of what those sins have done to you. You are free from the guilt of what those sins have done to everyone else. We are free in Christ. Now, in our country, we do enjoy a great deal of political freedom. As Americans, we're free to do, you know, whatever we want, say whatever we want, go wherever we want. As long as we don't break the law, there are certain bondage. But, you know, largely, if I decided today I wanted to drive to North Dakota, I could just drive to North Dakota and I could do that. Or if I decided I wanted to, you know, put my hair in a purple mohawk, I could go put my hair in a purple mohawk. Well, maybe I couldn't, but people with more hair could do that. You know, if I decided I wanted to quit this job and go do another job, I probably could do that. Right? We have all this freedom. But sometimes, as we well know, people don't always use that freedom in ways that please God. People use that freedom in a variety of ways. So we have freedom of speech. Well, some people choose to say some pretty awful stuff. I'm not just talking about like curse words, but use those words to promote, really ugly immorality, or say really hurtful things about other people. And we can do that in our country. We say, well, we got the freedom of speech, you know. And people say, you know, we have a freedom to live our lives that make us happy. So some people live really immoral or ungodly lifestyles. They focus their lives around money, or they focus it around eating and drinking excessively, or living incredibly self-centered lives. And once again, we can do that in our country because, you know, we're free. That's sort of the attitude that we adopt out of our culture. It's just a part of what we accept. When, you know, if we see something or we hear things that we know are wrong or misguided or just plain messed up, what we say usually is, well, it's a free country. But according to Scripture, the person who lives like that is not truly free at all. The person that you see who's able to just go and do all these wild and crazy things, they're not free. They are a slave to their sinful nature. And sometimes you would think it is more important to us that we be free from political oppression than free from the slavery to our sinful nature. You would think that is more valuable, that it's more important people not be bound under law than bound under the sinful nature that they're living with. But people who are not in Christ, they may feel free, they may look free on the outside, but they are held captive by their sinful desires. And as Christians, you and I, we have been freed from that bondage. No longer are we caught up. This is what Paul's talking about here. He says we're no longer caught up in the war. The war that's going on between what we want to do versus what we know we really ought to do. Y'all know the war. Y'all know the battle. You come to a decision and you're like, well, I want to do this, man. I know I ought to do this other thing, right? You're familiar. Well, that's the battle that's age old. It's been going on all the time. And Paul says that we're not caught up anymore like that, because when we live life by the Spirit, then what we want to do is what we ought to do. Or to put it another way, the power of the Holy Spirit leads us to want to do the right thing. It leads us to want to do what we ought to do. That is part of the power of the Spirit. That's what living by the Spirit, or later on he talks about keeping in step with the Spirit, means. Unlike those who are living apart from Christ, we aren't just slaves to our desires. And sometimes you would think that's all people are. That we're just led around by our desires. And Scripture talks about people like that. Like we're just like animals living off of instinct. Me want food, their food, eat. Right? I mean, that's the way that's sort of presented. That we don't have some higher order thinking skills. But Scripture says, no, we are not trapped in perpetual lives of Paul talks about sexual immorality or impurity or depravity or idolatry or hatred or arguing with everybody or jealousy to everybody or fits of rage or selfishness or drunkenness. And he lists a whole bunch of sins there. It's like when you're living apart from the Spirit, you just get caught up. And one thing leads to another, and you don't mean to be a super jealous person, but you end up just a life of jealousy. You don't mean to be a super angry person, but you just see the injustice and you're seething all the time just beneath the surface, this rage. You don't mean to be sexually immoral, but that's all you think about is sex in terrible contexts, right? We just get trapped in that. And Paul says, as Christians, we don't have to be that way. Now, as you and I know, it's all well and good to say that I'm not trapped by sin or I'm not bound to that. Because you and I, we also know that we don't always make the right decisions. That we don't also want to do what's wrong sometimes. That's true as well. The Spirit enables us wanting to do the right thing. That doesn't mean we always choose to do the right thing, right? Sometimes we're also like this guy I know that he gets freed from jail and then he goes right out and then just ends up putting himself right back in jail. We tend to do that. We imprison ourselves. We live lives that have been set free only to stumble back in and lock ourselves up. But as Christians, that is not what has to define our lives. I think sometimes we talk about sin so much that we think we're sort of just trapped where we are. But Paul says, you are not trapped there. You are not trapped in the self-destructive and others-destructive way of living. Paul says, you are free to do whatever the Spirit guides you to do. But the Spirit does not guide you to steal from your neighbor. The Spirit is not guiding you to be envious of your neighbor. The Spirit is not guiding you to be jealous of your boss or your spouse or your children. The Spirit is not guiding you to think sexually immoral thoughts. The Spirit is not guiding you to do those things. The Spirit is guiding you to a life of freedom. So those things no longer define our lives. At least they don't have to be. Instead, we've been set free to live empowered lives by the Spirit, to live amazing lives by the Spirit. Just think, this defines our lives. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and forbearance and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Against such things, there's no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, we're not going to be long this morning. I don't think there's any reason to belabor the point. If you are sitting here this morning and thinking that you would love for this to be you, you would love to have your life defined by these qualities. You would love to be set free in Christ this way, but that you're just, maybe you didn't grow up good enough, or maybe you've started enough bad habits, or maybe you're not smart enough to get all the theology down, or maybe you don't haven't memorized enough scripture, maybe you're not good enough, smart enough to do this. And you've struggled to the point that you think about Paul's first list, those lists of all those sins. You think that list defines your life more than this list. But it does not have to be that way. Not any longer. Paul says you are free to obey the Spirit. Again, sounds like a totally contradictory statement to say that you're free to obey. But before, for those of us who are familiar with the battle between what we want to do and what we ought to do, and we've heard the voice of the Spirit saying, this is what I want to do, but I can't do that. I mean, this is what I ought to do, but I can't do what I ought to do. I'm just stuck in doing what I want to do. You know, if you're familiar with healthy living, you know I ought to eat healthy, but I know I'm going to buy that burger. I might as well just go buy the burger, right? I want to be living in selfish ways. I know I ought to be looking out after other people, but I don't ever end up doing that. I just end up looking after me. So I'm stuck in selfish ways. I'm stuck in sexually immoral ways, idolatrous ways. All these sins Paul talks about. He says, no. You're not stuck anymore. You've been freed from that. And you can follow the guidance of the Spirit. You now can obey the Spirit in doing what ought to be done because that's now what you want to do as well. And if we can pray for you or lift you up, whether it's for forgiveness, for strength, to start off on a new path, to begin life in Christ Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, if we can help you at all this morning, won't you come now? As we stand and as we sing.